Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com.
From Tsunami Sushi in downtown Lafayette, we're Out to Lunch with Christian Mader, editor and publisher of The Current. It's business, Acadiana style.
Welcome to Out to Lunch. I'm Christian Mader. Who doesn't want a taste of the sweet life? Most folks are looking for a chance to indulge even when times are tough. Maybe especially when times are tough. They say ice cream sales go up when the economy goes down, and there's some truth to that. In the 2 years after the 2008 mortgage crisis, for instance, ice cream sales went up 25%. Of course, there's never really a bad time for dessert. You can eat cake or frozen yogurt year-round in Acadiana, and that's not just because it's always hot. The local dessert market is on the move. Food trucks are flying up and down Johnson Street, and that's because a food truck is a great vehicle, for a homegrown dessert business. You can keep mixing and baking at home without the trouble of operating a commercial kitchen in front of house. My guest, Nina Charles, has taken her craft as a cake artist from her house in Karen Crow all the way up to Netflix. She was a contestant on Is It Cake in 2022. Locally, she's known for her elaborately designed wedding cakes and for her food truck, Nina Creole. At Nina Creole, rolls are the name of the game, and she makes them sweet and savory with Louisiana spins on a fried egg roll. Nina grew up in Karen Crow and worked in insurance and disaster response for several years before launching her cake business in 2016. Nina Creole was launched in 2021. Nina Charles, welcome to Out to Lunch.
Hi, that was perfect.
Oh,
you did your research.
I have someone who does it for me, and then I just repeat it very, very, very fast.
I love it.
Of course, if you're going to indulge, why not go big and get all the toppings? Sweet Magnolias Creamery can bring the whole frozen yogurt experience to your backyard, and my guess, Charity Lewis is the one driving the truck, I think. Sweet Magnolias is named for a mini pig on Charity's mini farm. The mobile Froyo truck isn't the only venture she named for Maggie the pig. Charity also operates a nonprofit, Magnolia Kids Club, and a farmer's market, Maggie's Organic Market. Charity is originally from Detroit, but moved to Louisiana after a 10-year stop in Arizona. And she got the idea for the frozen yogurt shop from taking her kids to shops in Phoenix. And each summer, Sweet Magnolias serves a little homage to her time in Arizona, the prickly pear lemonade. Charity Lewis, welcome to Out to Lunch.
Thank you so much. That was like the best introduction ever.
I think we can stop the show right there.
Yeah,
very good. All right. So, Nina, I mean, look, you go on a reality contest show. I want to talk about that.
Okay.
Is It Cake? I've actually seen it. I didn't see your episode, which I said my kids love it. But I mean, you know, it's one thing to design an elaborately based cake, right, and make it beautiful and everything, and then to make something that looks like another thing. I mean, how did you learn to actually sculpt cake into a thing that isn't cake?
Yeah. I started off with YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah. But with that, I actually used to draw, and I have a degree in fashion design.
Oh.
And so when you're an artist, it kind of naturally transfers to other elements or things. So you can take something like fondant or sugar and then turn it into something else artistic. So it's
sure.
in the same realm. Yeah. It's just different materials.
Did you find that the experience on the show was helpful from like the business perspective?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It not only increased Nina Bakes Cakes, what it was, a lot of kids watch it and then
sure.
they research me.
Yeah.
Or her food truck will be at Maka's Park. So they really rushed over to Maka's
yeah.
Park for an autograph or whatnot. And I'm in the back rolling rolls and I'm like, oh, this is a real thing. This is happening.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting to sort of become like a local celebrity that way.
Yes, yes.
So Charity, I mean, like, frozen yogurt doesn't strike me as the sort of thing that like you just like learn to make in your kitchen. And so like, so you have this experience of being like, you know, I think lots of people like maybe Nina expressed things. I learned to make cake. I went on YouTube and I learned how to do it. But like, if I wanted to learn frozen yogurt, I'm actually generally assuming I got to get a special machine. I mean, how do you get into the frozen yogurt business?
Oh gosh, there's so many different avenues for actually like making the yogurt. You can of course buy from a distributor, which is the easy route, and
yeah.
of course I do that sometimes.
Sure.
But we actually work with Honey Hill Sugar Creek, and they
okay.
actually give us the frozen yogurt bases, which is just a regular, like, you know, plain tart flavor. And then we have these flavoring blends that we actually add to the yogurt to make all of our own custom flavors. So it's actually a little, it's not as in depth as what Nina does. And I'm totally fangirling in this interview with her.
But the yogurt is terrific, by the way.
Thank you. So are egg rolls. But there is a little bit of kind of a chefery, if that's a word,
to,
you know, making the frozen yogurt and making custom flavors, because we do like to cater to, you know, different people's tastes and kind of just have some fun, unique options on our truck for sure.
I mean, do you have to kind of find a place for the sort of style of frozen yogurt you're going to do? Like, I'm just sort of thinking about the other big brands that are out there, and it's like they all do like a plain tart kind of thing, and then they put a spin on it. But like, is there more to developing the actual yogurt product itself, like the selection process of saying, like, well, I'm going to make a yogurt that sort of tastes like this? I mean, give me a sense of just like what's out there. What are the options available to the young yogurt entrepreneur?
Gosh, there's about 67 different like custom blends flavors. I kind of go with like the seasonal approach. So like, let's say it's the fall season, I'm doing pumpkin spice, salted caramel, kind of flavors that remind you, even though it's cold, but kind of warm you up. Like, you know, hot chocolate, like a chocolate caramel turtle in the fall. In the summer, I'm doing a lot of our dairy-free sorbets. We're actually one of the only trucks that have the same pineapple soft serve that they offer at Disneyland. So that's always one of our best sellers in the summer. So it really just kind of depends on what season, kind of what we're serving. And that's kind of how I look for like my menu for flavors during like the events that we do.
So Nina, you have a company called Nina Bakes Cakes. But a lot of people know Nina Creole because you make egg rolls, right? So, I mean, I don't know that I necessarily see the connection there. So connect it to me.
There's
I mean,
no connection.
You're the connection.
Basically, I'm a person who just sees something and does it. So, and then I get bored and then I move on to something else that makes no sense at all to me. Because I'm not a chef. I don't like to be considered as a chef. I never... I didn't have any ambitions to be a chef or a baker. When Mama was cooking and everybody was doing their thing, I was sleeping. I had no desire to learn how to cook. But COVID happened. Me and Mama was bored in the kitchen. Somebody tagged me in a picture. I was like, oh, I can make that. I made it. People started asking. And then I ended up quitting my day job and becoming a chef.
I mean,
well, sort of.
So how did you settle on egg rolls as the option? Was it just that, you know, something that you happen to like? I mean, it's an interesting, you know, vehicle for a food product, right?
No, at that point, I only had maybe one or two egg rolls in my life. Somebody tagged me in a photo because they saw I was doing crawfish boudin king cakes at the time. And they were like, well, Nina, I think you can do this. And they tagged me in an egg roll picture. I was like, okay, I don't even know what that is, but let me see. And I Googled it, and I was like, all right, well, that looks interesting. So I did it, and I was like, Mama, what does this taste like? She's like, that's amazing. And I was like, all right, well, let's post it and see what, put it out there. And it just kind of blew up. And we started from the house, and then it was like, okay, I can't do this from the house. All right. So we need to do something about that. So I got a food truck, and then the rest is history. And then everybody kind of inspires me to do different things with the egg rolls. It's a thing now.
I mean, Charity, you're doing a lot of different things with, you know, the similar name. I mean, help me get a clear picture of how this all fits together with, you know, the kids club, right, the organic farm, and then the food truck. I mean, how do they all work together? I mean, what came first, the food truck or the egg roll? Which where does it go?
That's cool.
I'll be here all day.
So what came first was Sweet Magnolias Creamery. In Arizona, it was known as Sugar Plum Froyo. Kind of a lot of the things that I do here in Lafayette are a lot of the same things that I was doing in Arizona, such as, you know, running the farmer's market, having like food truck events, movie nights. Those are kind of all of the same things that I was doing. So my whole plan was to just pretty much bring my life in Arizona and everything that comes along with it to Lafayette, since now I live here. So it started with Sweet Magnolias, and then with Sweet Magnolias, I noticed I was spending a lot of my own money hosting these free public events. And I had someone come up to me once and was like, you know, what you're doing is great. You know, like, we want to donate money to you. And they gave me a check for $500, which was amazing. I was super appreciative of it. And then after that, they were like, you know, it'd probably be a good idea for you to start a nonprofit and other people can give you money, so you don't have to spend, you know, all this money out of pocket hosting these events that you offer for free for the community. So that's where Magnolia Kids Club Incorporated comes comes from. And that's kind of what my nonprofit does. We host free events for impoverished areas because we know I have three kids myself, so I know how expensive it is to take your children out for events, and we want to be able to give them something. Even if this is the only thing that they do all summer is come to one of my movie nights, at least the kids get to have fun. The parents don't have to worry about spending a bunch of money, and the community can truly come together and enjoy themselves, you know, as part of the community in Acadiana.
What is like a, you know, movie night look like? I mean, are you traveling to like a local park? I mean, set the scene for me a little bit here.
Okay, so yeah. For our movie nights, we call them Cinema Under the Stars, and we also partner with other organizations like Downtown Lafayette. So we have them at Park San Suu Kyi. Mm-hmm. We have them at Sugar Mill Pond, and also at West Village Development. Yeah. So usually they're in like a park setting where we have our blow up movie screen that's, you know, anchored into the ground. We have the crowd, we have food trucks, we have local vendors, and it's really kind of just a 4-hour community event where people are, you know, enjoying themselves, playing some outdoor games, you know, they're eating from the local food truck owners, and they're just spending time, and then it all comes together at the end with a big movie night where, you know, we're having popcorn and kind of just enjoying each other.
Yeah, so Nina, one thing that I learned in your story, right, is you kind of came back to the Lafayette area from Dallas because you wanted a slower pace of life. And, like, I mean, there's no Lafayette's slower than
it's
Dallas.
True,
there's no way. But I mean, you know, I'm struck by the fact that you got kind of like two linked businesses because they're yours. But, you know, your cake business, I mean, you're putting out a dozen cakes a year. I mean, like,
yeah.
I mean, do you think of them as separate enterprises? I mean, I know they have separate names, or are they still, do they operate under the same, like, how do you keep those things together, is I guess my question.
Yeah, I tried to keep them separate, but when people were coming to the truck, oh, do you cakes too?
Sure.
So can you do this and the cake?
Yeah.
So offer the egg rolls, I'll offer any type of chef services and the cake. So it kind of combined. And then on the food truck, I actually serve cake bowls.
Yeah.
And on the label, it has Nina Bakes Cake. So it's kind of bringing them all together at this point. Yeah.
So tell me what a cake bowl is.
Yeah. So it's basically cake in a cup.
Okay.
It's just easier. I wanted to make it convenient because we're a food truck. And just like the yogurt, it comes like in a cup. I thought that would be an interesting idea just to have in cake jars or whatnot. It makes it easy.
So, I mean, I've had folks on the show that do food trucks. And for a lot of people, right, a food truck is a stepping stone to one day opening a restaurant, yeah, right? But it strikes me for both of you, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're like, the food truck is the thing. I mean, being mobile is a big part of that. Why is that? Charity, you're nodding.
So I've kind of never been a person. It's never been my dream to ever have a brick and mortar. I love the mobile concepts of every single thing that I'm doing. I've been owning my food truck for about 8 years now, and I can never, ever have a brick and mortar. The overhead is less. It's less struggle. I love being able to park my food truck at my house. So it's really just like the ultimate balance between home and work life, because I do spend a lot of time at home with my family, just like you do. So it's nothing better than finishing a 4-hour service and being able to just come home and spend time with my kids.
Yeah, and for me, it's mostly, I like to travel, I like to do things. Like if I'm in Trinidad, I want to go to Trinidad and attend carnival or something like that. I don't have to be tied to come in and do this. I can be like, all right, y'all, I'm not taking out the truck this weekend, I'll be in Trinidad. And that's
Absolutely.
What I do. And it's amazing. Yeah.
Have you considered taking the truck to Trinidad?
No.
Okay.
I mean, we do travel. We're starting to travel more. I'm trying to get to at least Texas.
Yeah, sure.
And
yeah,
once we expand to more trucks, because I do want to have more trucks, and I think this year it's more about me being the owner than the employee and having someone else operate the trucks, then we'll look to do other states and things like that, and I'll be in Trinidad on that beach just kind of operating from there.
Sure. Well, that's the dream, is running the trucks from far away from the beach. Yeah. I mean, so I can understand the appeal of it, that it's not like there's no maintenance involved in running a food truck. I mean, I guess I'm wondering, like, you know, somebody might see it as like an easy entree, but I mean, from your experience, for instance, Charity, I mean, like, is it something that is as easy as it seems, or is it, you know, what's the hidden struggle of operating a food truck?
Absolutely not. I think every food truck concept has its own struggles. Like my struggles aren't the same as Nina Creole's.
And hers is large.
Yeah.
She has a large truck.
I have a very large truck when it's hooked up to my dually, which I do drive, by the way.
Cool.
It's about the size of a semi truck. So one of my struggles is, you know, making sure that when I go somewhere, there's enough space for me to park.
Yeah.
Another one of my struggles is, you know, Nina Creole, she does great, you know, at, you know, nighttime events, like adult events and things like that, because she has food that, you know, kind of caters to adults with her egg rolls. Mm-hmm. Me, not so much. If it's not a kid event, it's usually not so great for me, and kind of vice versa with her. If it's a kid event, then, you know, she might not do so well. So we kind of all have to find our own niche with what our food truck concept is to make sure that our concept is successful. So it's a lot of planning and thought processes. And like I said, we all have different struggles.
Sure. Nina, I mean, is that more or less the way you feel about it too?
It is, and like I said, I have trouble. Mine is like 3 times smaller. And I was on the highway, and that thing started just going back and forth, and I didn't know how to handle it, and it almost turned over. So there's that struggle. And then being a woman, and I don't know if your generator is tied to where you don't have to move it, but I have to take my generator off and on the truck at different events. And sometimes there's not a strong person, I'm going to say a man, there's not a man around to do these things. So I have to figure it out. I have to actually lift these things. So it is
girl power.
It is a struggle, right? It's a lot of work.
I don't ask me to lift the generator.
No.
I'm not a very strong man. So
I'll help you next
that.
Time I see
Thank you.
You're listening to Out to Lunch, Christian Mader. I'm talking to Nina Charles of Nina Creole and Charity Lewis of Sweet Magnolias Creamery. I mean, my perception is that there are more places to do this now, even in Lafayette. I mean, I feel like 10 years ago, you know, you could go to Austin, right? You could go around the country in larger cities, food trucks. I mean, you were living in Phoenix, right? Like, I'm sure food trucks were pretty commonplace. And then they didn't quite catch on in Lafayette in the same way. I mean, talk to me a little bit about just the broader scene here. Is it, I mean, you guys have both described ways in which your individual concepts maybe have met some challenges, but is it getting generally better to run a food truck in Lafayette?
Oh, yes. I think I definitely, coming from somewhere where the food truck industry, where we had like 200 trucks, to here where there's like maybe 50 or 60,
okay,
I do see it growing, and like just the industry being in a better place than it was when I opened a year ago.
Yeah.
We have food truck parks like Park the Oaks on the north side, and they have some amazing, they now have a new pavilion where they're serving like drinks and a farmer's market. Mm-hmm. So they have some great things going on the north side of Lafayette. We have Catalan Legacy that's on the border of Maurice and Lafayette on the south side. They have some amazing offerings. They have some vegan options, all types of really great food trucks over there. Mm-hmm. And then down farther in Abbeville, they have the Grub Lot that has concerts and all types of things. So there's plenty of places now for food trucks to park that they didn't have, you know, just a couple years ago. And I think that's amazing that, you know, these other small business owners are giving us places to park our trucks, because, I mean, for some people and a lot of food truck owners, like, you know, that's kind of their bread and butter, is finding somewhere to park, because you have other businesses that want to, you know, charge food trucks like, you know, $1,000 a month to park there. But then you have, like, you know, these food truck parks that are, the fees are nominal, and then they have these great community events that draw people. So I just think it's awesome, and I'm excited to see the growth and where it goes from here.
Yeah, and the same here, like, not only the food truck parks, down here in the parishes, Lafayette and surrounding, there's a lot of food, there's a lot of festivals mm-hmm. in general. So now that these festivals are here and we have all these food trucks, what they do is invite us to these festivals. So for me, it hasn't been, maybe when I first started, when nobody knew who knew, well, some people knew, but not enough. It was like reaching out to people. But now I have people calling me, like, can you come to this school? I see you go to this school. Can you come to this school? Can you come to this state or whatever? So it is growing and it is getting bigger.
Is it gotten to the point where, I mean, I'm imagining things like getting someone to fix your food truck at some point would be a challenge, right?
Oh,
like,
gosh.
Like you can't just assume that because it's a truck that it's got the same mechanical issues that you might find. Like, does the industry require, like, support services that are unique to it? Or can anybody fix a food truck?
It kind of does. It's like, food truck people build a community. So sure. When we talk amongst each other, we end up finding out who are those people, because it's very, very, very small. Huh. I mean, there might be two or three who actually work on these things. But basically, like, my axle went out. I went to one trailer place and they were like, nah, we can't do nothing with this food truck. And then I went to talked to another food truck who had the same issue, and it was like, oh yeah, and Scott, blah blah blah. I was like, all right, so now that's my person, right? Because they were like, oh yeah, we do this all the time. But you can't Google it and be like, oh, Texas, okay, don't want to drive there.
That's weird. I mean, I think an axle is an axle. Charity, you see, like, you've had an experience like this too.
Oh my gosh, I 100% agree with what she says. We are a family and a community, so a lot of people that fix the things are my truck are other food truck owners. Like Kenny, for instance, that owns the Grub Lot. I actually have another food truck that's opening up before the end of the summer, and he's actually the one that came and fixed my fuel pump.
Okay.
So I had no one else that I could ask about fixing my fuel pump. He fixed the fuel pump. I have a friend, Kim, that works with Sakani's Wings. She owns Sakani's Wings. And, like, she had an issue where her tire, she had a flat tire. And I was actually the one who came out and helped her fix her tire with my trailer aid.
Yeah.
So you'd be surprised how often we kind of call each other when we need help versus calling these service centers, because so many of them kind of turn us away because they don't want to deal with it. It just looks too complicated.
I mean, is there, like, a single manufacturer for food trucks now? I mean, I guess my sense was, like, people were just taking mail trucks and sticking kitchens in them. I mean, but they look more sophisticated now.
My other food truck actually used to be a mail truck.
There you go. Like, some of them are, and then I know for me, mine was manufactured actually in Tijuana, but I didn't know. I went to Houston because one of my friends in Houston went to this place that does just food trailers. But when I went to register it down here, they're like, we can't find this VIN.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, okay, we'll look for it. And she was like, oh, we found it, but it's manufactured in Tijuana. I was like, I got it from Houston. So I was surprised, but yeah, that's basically what they do.
So, I mean, Charity, you were talking about, it sounded like you had another food truck concept in the offing. I mean, it seems like do you feel like you have to balance, right? I mean, if part of what attracts you is you get to, like, have something that you can set aside for the weekend and you don't have to deal with it if you don't want to. Like, but if you're going to grow it, right, eventually you're not driving the truck anymore, you're managing the business. I mean, how are you balancing those two things?
Oh gosh, pretty much everything that I do is kind of like a seasonal thing to like give me a break. My dessert truck that serves ice cream, it's pretty much from around March, April until about October. Usually our last event is around Halloween.
Yeah.
Our farmer's market that we have usually around the same time, from March until about October. My other truck, it's going to be a little bit different. It's mostly going to be catering to schools that, you know, don't have like concession stands and basically a lot of these festivals where they don't have kid friendly options. So that's kind of going to be the one that's kind of going to be running in my off season when I'm not on my dessert truck and then also not running the farmer's market.
I mean, if you grew that food truck concept, like, to where you had more than, whether it sounds like being seasonal is an advantage to you, or at least in terms of how you want to run a business. I mean, is the idea that you could still run all this out of your house, right? Like, if you had 20 trucks, you'd still just be doing the paperwork in your home office?
Oh yeah, I mean, we have an acre property that's like right outside of Johnston. It's off of Johnston Street, but right on the border of Maurice, so I have plenty of space for all of my trucks.
Sure.
I would love to eventually, like, you know, not be on my trucks as much as I do and kind of hire staff. Right now, I'm in a phase kind of like Nina where, you know, I'm building and I'm trying to make sure that things are, you know, perfected before I'm able to step away. Because I would be so heartbroken for people to not understand my mission and not understand, you know, my business and then kind of like stray away from that. So that to me is very important before I even consider stepping away from any of my business ventures. I tell my mom all the time, she's like, when do you ever sleep? And I'm like, I can sleep when I'm dead. You know, I'm 33. You know, I'm just going to be tired every single day, and that's fine.
That's just parenthood. Yeah. Just tired all the time. Yeah. So do you have to get a special kind of driver's license to drive a food truck? It's not considered a commercial truck?
Almost. If mine was about 2,000 more pounds, I would probably have to have a CDL. Yeah. Oh,
just wow. Just one more ton.
Yeah. Just a little bit heavier.
Just a little bit.
Oh my gosh. People always ask, they're like, oh, you know, because I was in the process of like patenting my design and trademarking, and they're like, oh, you're going to build another one like this. I was like, absolutely not. It would definitely be smaller. Yeah. There'd be a lot of things I would change.
Custom built your trailer?
Yes. I have a background in engineering.
Okay.
So I designed the whole, every single piece of it. You would never be able to like find another truck like this because it was pieced together from so many different things. Like my generator is custom from Georgia.
Wow.
I was custom painted. It's a 25 kilowatt generator with a silencer enclosure. And if you know anything about generators, you know that's enough for like 12 houses.
Wow.
Like you can power 12 houses with that thing. And it's you can talk next to it. It's so quiet. Even like my frozen yogurt machines, they're from, you know, a different manufacturer. And I was just talking to him the other day because we were talking about struggles. Yep. I have no one to help fix these machines. No one knows how to fix them.
It sounds like you could fix it yourself.
But I do fix it myself. Yeah. I have to. Yeah. And I just spoke to him the other day, and he was just kind of like, oh, hey, how's it going? You know, it's been a while. And it was like the most amazing conversations. I was telling him about my nonprofit and kind of all the stuff that I have going on. And I was telling him how he kind of changed my life.
Yeah.
And he was just like, what? I did that? Because I don't know if you know anything about frozen yogurt machines, but those things are like $12,000 for just one.
Wow.
And when I first got this unit, I probably had like $10,000 to my name that I had to interject into my business loan.
Yeah.
And the business loan was like $100,000. So at the time, I'm like, man, I can't even afford these machines. I can't, like, how am I going to do this? And then when I talked to him and I kind of let him know what I was doing, he's like, hey, I have these four machines in the back. They're scratch and dent. I'll sell them to you for $2,000 a piece.
I
was like, what? Like you would do that for me? And he surely did. Shipped them for free. And when they got there, they weren't scratch and dent at all.
Wow.
Like, there was nothing wrong with them. Absolutely nothing at all. And I told him, I was like, man, I was like, you don't know how that small moment changed my life. And that's kind of why I do the stuff that I do, as far as like giving back to people. Because if I can be that one person for somebody where it's like, this conversation, this thing you did for me, this moment you did for me changed my life, then I feel like I gave back.
I mean, Nina, I mean, it's like you had a really, the kind of exposure a lot of people would want, right? To get on a streaming platform where you're going to be in front of millions of people.
Right.
And yet, like the thing you put in front of them is a business that's just you who's got to make this thing. You make 12 of them a year. I mean, did you think about how am I going to try to expand that? It's interesting to me that the concept that seems to have taken off for you is the food truck and not instead I'm going to figure out how to scale my custom cake business, right?
Right. The thing is, I've never really been a goal setter, planner, or thought about what my life would look like years to come.
Sure.
So I'm kind of just floating through. So when this thing happened, no, I didn't think about it. I just kind of went with the flow.
Yeah.
Cakes kind of died down a little bit because I decided to focus on food trucks a little more because it makes more money.
Sure.
And with me, after 3 years, I get bored with something.
Sure.
And cakes has been since 2016. I'm not gonna lie, I'm kind of bored. I'm kind of to the point where I'm not really wanting to do it for customers because, again, I am an artist. I like to do it when I'm inspired or when I want to do it. When you have customers, you have a deadline. You have to do it by their date. And it doesn't feel the same. I don't like it as much as I used to.
Yeah. So, I mean, it sounds like if at the end of the day, you're the sort of person who wants to go with the flow.
Yes.
You want to stay on the move. Then being in the food truck business is probably ideal for both of you, I would think. And it's been really great to get under the hood of what you guys do. Nina and Charity, thanks for joining me today on Out to Lunch Acadiana.
Thank you.
Thank you
for having
thank
us.
Thank you.
My guests on Out to Lunch Acadiana today have been Nina Charles of Nina Creole and Charity Lewis of Sweet Magnolia's Creamery and Maggie's Organic Market. We edited this conversation to fit into our time slot here on KRVS. You can hear our unedited conversation and find out more about Nina and Charity by listening to the Out to Lunch Acadiana podcast. And you can find and subscribe on your podcast app and on our website, itsacadiana.com. If you want to know what we all look like, you can find photos from this show on itsacadiana.com and on our Out to Lunch Acadiana social media. These photos were taken by Aster Morgan, and you can find more of Aster's photos on astermorgan.com. Out to Lunch Acadiana is a production of INO Broadcasting for itsacadiana.com and KRVS 88.7 FM. The producer of our show is Grant Morris. Our technical producer is Eric Merle. Our associate producer is Chad Terrio. Our researcher is Leah Erdialis. Today's show was engineered by Dylan Babineau. I'm Christian Mader. I'm editor of The Current, Lafayette's nonprofit newsroom. And to get the scoop on Lafayette, head over to thecurrentla.com and sign up for our free newsletters. We'll see you next time for more business and conversation on Out to Lunch Acadiana. See you next time.
Out to Lunch Acadiana was recorded live over lunch at Tsunami Sushi on Jefferson Street in downtown Lafayette. Tsunami is open Tuesday through Saturday for lunch and dinner, serving sushi, sashimi, salads, and authentic Japanese grilled dishes. Tsunami welcomes casual dining or reservations. More information at servingsushi.com. Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com. Mitchell Foreman wrote and performs all the music on Out to Lunch. You can hear Mitchell's music anywhere great jazz is sold or streamed, and at MitchellForeman.com. If you'd like to be part of Out to Lunch, to learn how your business or organization can become an Out to Lunch program partner, email info@inobroadcasting.com.